be careful out there. Did you hear any gunshots?
I personally didn't.
Okay. I was surprised I didn't hear much at 7:30, but
yeah,
you never know.
You never know.
I'm always ducking here. So, obviously, hunting was part of the week up in Lansing with the baiting.
It absolutely was. In the House 2 weeks ago, we took up some legislation that would allow individuals to bait. Right now, the Natural Resource Commission has said you may not bait. You may not put feed on the ground on your own personal property in order to bring the deer in hunting. And the legislation has been considered. It's been on the books for a while. In fact, Ted Nugent came up and testified a few months ago on it. The House took it up for a vote, and it passed the House a couple of weeks ago, went to the Senate last week, and it did pass the Senate. It was a different version that the Senate passed. So that means it would have to go back to the House for concurrence. The second piece is it did not take immediate effect. They did not put that piece in place. So this will not affect this year's hunting season.
Right.
Then the final piece is once it makes it through the process, any piece of legislation makes it through the House, makes it through the Senate, the final piece is the governor's desk.
Right. What was the difference between the two plans?
Additional,
it was something.
They were similar, but additional clarification. Sometimes we joke in the House that the Senate wants to sanitize it. They want to just make a few more tweaks to it. Most of the time, it's good. It just adds additional clarification. Kind of like any document you get as a English language arts teacher, I would always tell my students, you should plan at least 3 copies of every piece of writing you create. Because you go back, you read it the next day, you see additional pieces that need clarification, something that you could change it to make it better. And in this case, additional clarification on there was a limit as to how much feed could be placed in that bait pile. I believe it was 5 gallons. I didn't see the clarification that I thought was needed in regard to how often you could be put that in place or what area. It was really important that we made very clear that the TB affected area of our state, the 4 counties in northeastern Michigan that have been identified as a TB zone, that they be exempt from this, that we need to protect those areas of the state. Clarification was added in the language there. When you look at that affected state, part of our state, to me, we need to be having a conversation about the cattlemen in that area. So it's not just the deer that are affected, but the deer are transmitting it to the cattle in the field. We need to be cognizant of that. We also need to be cognizant of the power the USDA has and what they could do to harm that industry. This is a conversation that people are very, very passionate about. And again, it will not impact this year's hunting season.
And the chronic wasting, that's kind of the great unknown. We don't know exactly where it is. We have an idea.
Right. And how long have we had it?
Right.
To what extent can we control it? I mean, a lot of people don't believe we can. I like to look at the science of it all, take the emotion out, show me the data. Show me the data over time. How long have we been collecting it? What are other states seeing? And then you just have to use common sense because, again, people are very passionate when it comes to these issues.
Yeah, and the science is always debatable.
It is. It's easy to say, throw out whatever information. And those are some of the bigger challenges as a legislature, Greg. You understand when someone comes to present their point of view, their goal is for you to side with them. And we have to be reflective, step back, and look at all of the pieces of information and what hidden agendas might be out there, right? Follow the money. Who's got something to gain? What are the unintended consequences? Those are a lot of the questions I ask myself regularly.
Well, I would say Tom Knutson was rather passionate.
He was. He approached me early on after I was elected, asking many of us in Lansing to take up the the initiative of changing the opening day of deer hunting season to a Saturday.
That's just common sense.
And they're so... I understand. I completely understand his reasoning on it. I understand that it would... what it would do to allow children not having to be taken out of school, people not having to take off work, to increase the number of hunters we have in the state, to bring families together, make it more of a tradition for the families with the different generations to pass that heritage down. I completely understand where he's coming from. The other side, the biggest complaint is simply it's just change, and that's not the way we do it. That's not the way we've done it. There are some people that that's simply their reasoning.
It's I don't know. I can't make any sense of out of it.
Well,
I'm not a hunter, but...
And we have a governmental system where we have 110 representatives. We have 38 senators. So you have 148 people that have to be able to sit at the table, come to some sort of logical conclusion, and have the majority.
And I know Tom believes he's been just hitting his head against the wall. Because he's been talking about... We've talked about this for 20 years.
Yeah. Frustrating.
Yeah. It's kind of silly. Catastrophic claims. We had the story earlier where the price is going from 220 to 100.
Yes, per vehicle. If come July 2020, if an individual chooses to have that unlimited lifetime personal injury protection, referred to as PIP, if you as an individual choose to keep that health insurance plan on your auto insurance policy, right now you're paying $220 per vehicle. The rates are going down next summer to $100. Again, that's only if you're choosing to keep that PIP. After decades of paying the nation's highest car insurance rates, Michigan drivers are finally going to see the rate relief that they deserve. I'm excited because this historic car insurance reform are already showing dividends to the drivers of our state, and this is going to be just the beginning. In addition, we're seeing more companies asked to come into Michigan as we move forward and provide additional policies and plans for the consumer to consider. And as you well know, the more entities we have offering these variety of plans, the better options and lower prices we should have as well.
It should mean that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, this is just the first step. Again, those individuals that choose to have the unlimited lifetime personal injury protection of having that full coverage of insurance, of health insurance, attached to your car insurance plan, the rates have already gone down.
Even if you had a policy, Julie, that would, you know, maybe cover most of a catastrophic accident, would this be beneficial then also to have both?
Yeah, you know, it comes to just an individual's choice and how risk adverse you are. I like to use the analogy of life insurance. There are individuals out there that have significant policies on their life insurance for them or for their spouse. They want that assurance that everyone at home will be taken care of if something were to happen for them. And then there are other individuals that don't have life insurance because they choose not to. It's not in their budget. It's financially not feasible. It's just not on their radar. They're not as concerned about it. I have a hard time with government mandating to any individual what exact service they need. I believe it should be up to an individual. People are going to have to be well educated. That is going to be crucial as we move forward to morphing into this new auto insurance system in Michigan, because people are just used to having that insurance plan in place. If you are on Medicare, then you can be exempt from the PIP. If you're on Medicaid, there is a minimum plan you must have. If you have a private insurance health plan, you must prove that they are covering an accident incident in which medical care is needed. So the assurances are there. People are going to simply have to become educated. And we look forward to, you know, providing opportunities so that we can educate as we move forward and people are making the right decisions.
It seems with the drop to $100, it would offer more people the opportunity to take it.
Right. So the question will become, what is that premium going to look like for that actual plan in comparison? So we know the $220 to $100 is a significant drop, again, per vehicle. But what are the premiums going to look like? What is the existing insurance coverage an individual has? Those would be questions people would have to ask themselves.
Yeah. So still a lot of learning to do.
Mm-hmm. But this was, again, this was the first step. It's a good sign that this is just the beginning of rate reduction. So we're excited.
So nothing much changed with the budget this week?
I was not called back to Lansing to take a vote. I did go up to Lansing one full day and worked up there and met with some stakeholders on some legislation that'll be in front of us in December. We are preparing for a very intense, long December. I am very hopeful and optimistic that we can resolve some of the vetoes and the budget transfers that the governor put in place, that we can all come back to the table and find some resolution, because it is impacting people at home. I hear it regularly. Last night I was at a meeting, and actually it was one of the sheriff candidates wanted to talk to me about secondary road funding, how that's impacted us here in our Jackson community. And that is one of the very first 23 supplemental bills. We have it ready to go so that the counties have that additional assistance in putting law enforcement on the road.
So that's not back yet.
Correct. Wow. That was a.
I thought that was coming back.
It's on the table.
On the table.
In discussion. Okay. But that, as we know, Andy's Place, we know we have public school funding for our charter schools. There are so many programs. 147 vetoes, $550 million that was transferred around within departments and not going to the place that the legislature in a bipartisan manner voted for it to go to. So those are issues we'll continue to work on. But we'll be back in a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, I am just busy in district. I love my in-district time. I have had the chance to give so many legislative updates. You know, last week, I think I called you from the chamber. I've been speaking with them and supervisors and superintendents and service groups. When I leave here, I'm meeting with an individual about medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. The conversations just continue. I love being able to go out, give legislative updates, and actually meet with people. I've been drinking so many cups of coffee.
Well, December 1st, it becomes legal. Right.
That's my understanding. So as we move forward, there's so many questions out there.
A
lot of questions. And then now add to it the industrial hemp. And as we've talked before, Greg, as the chair of House Agriculture Committee, I want to become more knowledgeable on that. The USDA will be putting forth documentation on what guidelines they are giving to states, but we will have to modify our state laws for industrial hemp and looking at what some of the details of that might be, listening to township supervisors, some of the challenges they're already seeing, listening to the processors, listening to the growers, or the lack of processing, actually, for industrial hemp, looking at what other states are doing. That's how I spend a lot of my time.
Who can grow it?
Anyone that received registration, I believe, has the official documentation in place at the state. But again, this was the very first year. This is our pilot year, 2019, in the state of Michigan.
So what's up the rest of the weekend?
The rest of the weekend. You know, I still have stacks.
I see the light bulbs going on.
Yeah, you saw. I'm thinking I've got a constituent file. Just a lot of phone calls to return that when I'm traveling. Yesterday, I went and learned more about water well and the withdrawal process. That was interesting to look at what challenges the industry's having out there. Constituent phone calls. A lot of times I just have to prioritize. People are calling to offer insight maybe on auto insurance reform. Sometimes it's the motorcycle groups. I've got some phone calls to return there. Sometimes people are reaching out to my office, and my office knows to prioritize it. Helping a family with an issue they're having with a high school diploma, several phone calls there. Just balancing. Normally my travel time is my phone call time, and with the roads lately, I just haven't been doing that. I've just been...
Be careful.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, again, following up on some issues there, doing more research on some legislation we're moving forward. Happy to see that the pension bill that I introduced passed the House. We did not have any no votes. And, again, on that pension bill, for those individuals that have a public pension and their birth date was prior to 1946... And if they happen to pass and that pension then went through the inheritance tax to their spouse or to their spouse, that spouse would then be allowed to still have that pension not taxed. So happy to see that move forward. We'll continue to work on that through the Senate when we get back. As chair of ag, a lot of people offer pieces of legislation, and I spend time just reading over that legislation, asking myself, asking that bill sponsor, what's the problem they're trying to solve, and then going out and about in the community and asking questions there. Greg, on health services, we've been talking about the Triple E spraying, and so my staff, I asked my staff to schedule an appointment with our local health director to better understand the impact and how it all played out for us in our Jackson community. When we were told at Friday at 1 o'clock that the Grass Lake and the Concord area were going to be sprayed, but 48-hour notice must be given in order to be exempt, but the spraying was taking place Sunday night. That caused a lot of frustration. I spent a lot of time on the phone with upset individuals and individuals just wanting more education, wanting to be informed. So I figure the more time I spend learning about how that impact our community, then the more valuable of a conversation we will have in committee meeting as we move forward with this.
Well, you saw that box of donuts out there.
I did. I spotted that box of donuts. I did.
That's from County National Bank. They're having a tailgate party from 10 to 2 today at their Horton Road location, so you can slide by there.
Okay, absolutely. We can do that.
Little Michigan State tailgate to welcome their investment management team. I think some of them are moving to the Horton Road location.
Okay, so now Mike.
So we're naming Mike Jors the banker of the year for bringing in that donuts.
Yeah, I would say the donuts look they look wonderful. But Greg, what are you, a Michigan or Michigan State fan?
I'm absolutely neutral. You know that. Come on.
Just
you?
Asking.
You?
You know what? I support all of our Michigan teams. How about that?
Spoken like a true politician.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Julie.
Have a great day.